Good to see you all here with us today. We're glad that you chose to be with us. We're continuing on with this Mystery of Christmas series I began in December. Thus far, we've considered the revelation of Scripture and how it tells us about the mystery of Christmas, including the incarnation, God becoming flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the salvation for all nations, as Jesus was born to be Savior of the world, also the concept, at least, of reincarnation, as God chooses to dwell now in flesh once more, in us, to inhabit us, to accept His Son as both Savior and Lord. Next week, Jordan Shelton is going to be speaking, and he's going to be carrying on with this, helping to uncover at least some of the mystery of predestination as it relates to God's plan and purpose through Christ coming to the world. That predestination for all of those who are born again. So I appreciate he's going to be speaking in my stead next week. Today, I'd like us to consider that whenever the mystery of Christmas is revealed, it is cause for great celebration. Great celebration. What kind of celebration? Well, family gatherings, maybe, huh? Family gatherings. Any of you gather as families, you know, for Christmas to celebrate this wonderful event. Holiday parties. How about gift exchanges? Anybody been involved in any of those already, maybe, or more to come? Christmas caroling. There you go. Candlelight services. Maybe all of those, and so much more. But where does this idea of celebrating the birth of Christ originate? Where does it come from? Interesting enough that in the first few centuries, the church did not necessarily celebrate the birth of Christ. It's interesting that developed over time, and we don't know the precise date he was born, but they chose a date to honor him and do that, so the church started doing that, celebrating. They just thought, you know, we should celebrate this birth of Christ. But where did the idea come from, though? Where did the idea even come from that would say, hey, we should celebrate Jesus coming into the world? Well, to solve that mystery, we're going to revisit the first Christmas as recorded in Luke 2. Now, we've been there already through this season. We're going to revisit again. It's page 1591 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along there, because we're going to be looking at verse 8 through 20, this familiar text, Luke 2, 8 through 20. It says in verse 8, at night that Jesus was born, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." He said, "This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. At verse 9, good news. Of great, what? Joy. Good news of great joy, and it caused them to do something, to glorify and praise God. They did that. I submit to you that that is the normal and natural response from any who have really met Jesus. If you've really had an encounter with Jesus, the Son of God, then that's the response. You're filled with great joy, and that joy produces what? Praising, glorifying God. In fact, we're going to read on in this same chapter, in verse 21 and following, to see that this is a consistent theme. This is what took place just about a week after Jesus was born. In Luke 2:21 and following. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus. The name the angel had given him before he'd been conceived. When the time for their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be circumcised to the Lord. And they were to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what's also said there in the law. A pair of doves or two young pigeons should be sacrificed. Now, he was waiting, Simeon, for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple's courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, this is what verse 28 says. Simeon took him in his arms, and what did he do? He praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Again, beholding Christ, what it resulted in? Praise for God. Praise for God. Why? Well, in Simeon's own words, his eyes had seen God's salvation. Have any of you here seen God's salvation? I have. I don't mean with my physical eyes, but I have seen. I personally experienced the forgiveness of my Savior, Jesus. Has anyone here had that encounter, that experience? Have you recognized the salvation of God? If you have, say so. Amen. Amen. Have you? Have you? Well, listen to me. That's cause for what? Praise to God. For celebrating what we have gained and been gifted in Christ. Amen. Cause for celebration, for praise. Now, you might be wondering, well, wait a minute, praising God, I don't necessarily see how that's connected to celebration. Surely, again, the pastor here, your pastor, is just, you know, looking for a neat rhyming series. You know, like we've talked about incarnation and salvation for all nations. We've talked about reincarnation and new creation. Now we're talking about celebration. That's going to be predestination. I must look at a thesaurus before I even opened my Bible, right? No, I didn't. I didn't. This is truth, no matter what you might label it, that there's cause for celebrating and praising God whenever we recognize the salvation He has sent and we have received. Stick with me just a little bit longer. Let's take a peek now at another scene, which is so often associated with the Christmas story. You can turn to page 1497 in your pew Bibles if you want to. It's found in Matthew 2, verse 1 through 11. Though it's the record of some events that would happen many months after Jesus was born, it reminds us that there's great cause for celebration in any season when you recognize the Christ. It begins in verse 1 of Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi or wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for that's what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi, the wise men, secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, how did they feel? They were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother, Mary, and bowed down and, what did they do? Worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. Look, once more, we see that those who find Jesus are filled with joy. Consistently, joy. Great joy. And don't you know that the joy stirs up within them, motivates them to engage in worship and gift-giving. Now that's interesting. So whether you're coming from nearby like the shepherds did, or from afar such as the Magi did, or Jesus has been brought to you right where you are, such as in the case of Simeon, the most natural thing to do when we recognize him for who he is to feel joy. To feel great joy. And the most natural thing for us to do when we're filled with this kind of joy is to celebrate with praise to God and the giving of gifts. Isn't it? Think about it for just a moment. Whenever you celebrate a monumental time in someone's life, could be a birth, could be a birthday, could be an anniversary, could be a graduation, could be someone's had a promotion, could be someone has just achieved something, maybe they've done something again where they've got an award or recognition from the community, and you're invited to come and participate in what? A celebration. Celebration. Those of us who are believers, don't we also celebrate with them by expressing praise, thanksgiving, glory to God? That he has blessed them to be able to do this, to accomplish this, or to survive this, or to get through this, or to do well with something, and we thank God. We glorify God for that, do we not? If we're believers in him. See, we celebrate that. And don't we so often give gifts? Don't we? We so often give gifts. It's part of celebrating, isn't it? Giving gifts and again, praising God. And as believers, as people who have accepted Jesus, recognized him as Savior and Lord, what's more natural than for us to have great joy and to celebrate him? And yes, do we bring gifts? Do we bring gifts to the Savior? What can you bring him? What should you bring him? I believe the invocation of the mystery of Christmas is a provocation to praise. It just is. We are just motivated. We are filled with that joy, and that joy overflows in praise. Yet the gifts that we bring to Jesus, unlike the Magi, aren't to be brought to a lowly babe in a manger, but to the exalted King of heaven. Amen? And at the risk of sounding like Mariah Carey, the only thing he really wants for Christmas is you. That's what he wants. That's all he's ever wanted. museum. Isn't it? And we come to realize that. We come to understand that. It's not what we have. It's who we are. It's not even who we'll become. It's that He loves us where we are, as we are. As I've stressed so many times before, He loves us too much to leave us where we are and as we are. He's come to bless us and enrich our lives and to fill us with all of the good things. You know, when you bring yourself as a gift to Jesus, you always leave with a whole lot more than you came with. Isn't that true? Isn't it? Those of you who've experienced that, isn't it? He always blesses you far more abundantly than you could ask or imagine, than you expected. He blesses you. So as you run ragged to find just the right gift to place under the tree for so many others, make sure you don't forget to place your gift of love under His tree. And I'm not talking about an evergreen tree. I'm not talking about even an artificial tree. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the one that's at the town square. I'm not talking about the one that's here at the church. I'm not talking about the one that's at your home even, or at the mall. No. I'm talking about history. History. What was hung on that tree wasn't a string of lights, but the light of the world. Instead of holiday ornaments and tinsel, what adorned that tree was His blood, shed for the sins of every one of us. He gave His life so we can have life, abundant life, fulfilled life, meaningful life, now and forever life with God in heaven. Later. He came here so we could go there. He came to be with us so we could be with Him. And it was all about Him, but He so loved us. He came for us. He died for us. The gift of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 We should be hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, right? Celebrate. Because He has done great things for us in sending His Son as our Savior. And He's Lord of those who've accepted Him. He came to be King. See, King over our lives. To rule in our lives. And so many of the blessings, I'm afraid, that we miss out on are because He came as a gift to us, but we haven't given ourselves to Him. We haven't done that. And therefore, things don't change in our lives. And we don't have the cause for joy. We don't have the cause for that. Yet, we think, so. Again, He came for everyone else. But when you recognize He came for me, He's my Savior. My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. I've experienced it. I've encountered Jesus. And we surrender to Him and allow Him to be King in our lives. To have the rule in our lives. Because He's not that kind of King who forces us to bow. He's the King who welcomes us to Him. And we bow filled with joy. We bow filled with heart of gratitude. We bow filled with praise. And we serve Him. We give Him the rule, the right to direct our lives and bless us in those lives. Praise God. How many of you know that the life you've lived since you've known Him, since you met Him, is so much different than the life you lived before? And how many of you know it's so much more blessed than before? Some of you, you grew up knowing about Him. You were taught by your mothers and your fathers and Sunday school teachers. You were raised in church, as they say. And you knew about him. And maybe very early on, you accepted the truth about him. You were convinced of the truth about him. And that was cause for some joy. But if you can remember back to when the time you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, was there joy? Was there joy? And does it continue with you? Does it continue with you? See, the mystery of Christmas is this. His sacrifice is cause for great celebration. See, so often we think about the cruel death that he died, the way that he had to endure so much pain and suffering. That causes us to mourn. That causes us to grieve. But we realize that gift was completely given, not just in his birth, but in his living a sinless life and then laying it down for us. That he died on the cross. That he did that for us so we can be redeemed and saved. That's cause for celebration. Amen. So in the couple of days we have left before Christmas, however you celebrate Christmas, whatever gathering you're in, or whether you're all by yourself, celebrate him. Celebrate him. Because Christmas is all about Christ, isn't it? Celebrate him. How will you do that? Just express again praise to God for the gift he's given. Yes, and give him some gifts. What? Well, maybe this Christmas it'll just be renewing again with him. That confession of faith that I believe in you and I love you and I thank you and I give my life to you. Maybe that will be the celebration that you'll have. And maybe it's a celebration we all should have, amen? Not just at Christmas, but all season long. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' blessed name for the gift of your dear Son, our Savior Jesus. I want to thank you, God, for the revelation of what he's done for us. I want to thank you, God, for just all that he means to us. I want to thank you for all that we have in him and all that we have yet to realize in him. Just thank you. Praise you. And Father, I pray that as we all recognize and realize what a precious gift we have been given, we will recognize the only logical thing, the right thing to do, the only thing that makes any sense to do is what Paul said in Romans 12, in view of your mercy, your love, your gift, is to offer ourselves back to you. Father, it's not much. It's all we have. But I know it's all you want is us. Thank you, God. Thank you for reminding us what we have reason to celebrate. It's Christ. In his name we pray.